We will be reading this morning John chapter 14, verse 15 to 31. The text is from Exodus 20, it's verse 12a. It's essentially the first of two sermons, and I preached this at Palmerston North relatively recently. So next week we plan to start Philippians, and we'll move on from there. But given the nature of this week and the unpacking and everything like that, this is an older sermon which I'm re-preaching, so it will be the first of two. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll pick up the last one later on. So, honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We're looking at the first phrase of that, honour your father and your mother, and what that means biblically. But for a little bit of background, let's read John 14, verse 15 to 31. This is Christ speaking to his disciples. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. As you can see from that passage, it's not our text, but as you can see from that passage, there's this relationship between Christ the Son and God the Father, and that's shown in a number of different ways. And also, as Christ talks, there's this implication that we too are the Father's children, that we are Christ's brothers and sisters. The first time I preached this sermon, I was struck with how odd it was that I was going to be preaching on fatherhood. For 10 years, my wife and I were unable to have any children. And now we have two, as you can see, in front of you right there. A little boy and a little girl. And for those of you who have children yourselves, you understand how life-changing that can be. Thinking about the fifth commandment for me, until I had children, was always about who my parents were. I had to honor them as well as I was able. And once I had a child of my own, the commandment took on a different dimension. I always knew that for other people who had children, the commandment applied to parents also. They were called to be good parents, that don't exasperate your children, and so on. But it wasn't really until I finally became a parent that I realized my holes in my understanding of this commandment as I sought to apply it to myself. The theme of this morning's sermon is that both the children who honor their parents, and also for parents who are worthy of that honor, illustrate an even greater reality, a heavenly reality. We know from Ephesians 5 that God instituted marriage to point towards the relationship between Christ and the church. Christ loved the church so much that he gave himself up for her. So too should husbands love their wives and wives submit to their husbands in turn. Well, the burden of this morning's sermon is that God commanded us to honor our parents because it's a picture of the triune God, a picture which the triune God decided on before the foundations of the world. And keeping this commandment testifies to the love that God the Father has for his Son, Jesus Christ, and vice versa. Now, it may be an odd thing to consider right now, but God didn't need to create humans this way, where a husband and a wife would become one flesh and they would have children by marriage. Now, had he wanted to, he could have created human reproduction to be something more like bacteria or a virus, where each cell just kind of divides into two cells in order to spread. In fact, if you think about it, our mandate to fill the earth and subdue it may have even been easier to do if we in fact multiplied as a virus rather than in the current system of reproduction. But God didn't. Instead, he decided to ordain that a man and a woman would be blessed with a child who would grow for 9 months in the mother's womb, a child who could be born to loving and godly parents, a child who could not only be raised to recognize the one who gave him or her life, not the parents, but God himself. And this child would be called to respond as he grew up and recognized this gift in obedience to his God and Father in heaven out of love reciprocated. Now, we're going to be looking at three elements in the fifth commandment as we consider this relationship that we have with God this morning. Firstly, God and Jesus. Secondly, God and you. And thirdly, you and your family. So firstly, God and Jesus. Now, it's important to note that the fifth commandment calls children to obey both parents. Now, the emphasis here isn't on different gender roles, but on the authority granted by God. And he doesn't only give it to the father, but to both parents. And like the Heidelberg Catechism says, through them, God chooses to rule us. But because the heart of this is the authority structure, God's relationship with Christ serves as a model because it's still that of a parent to a son. Now, with that being said, God chose to create human beings to have these kinds of relationships so that they could understand both the love of parents for children and the obedience out of love that children have in return to parents. So you read the book of Matthew, and the nature of God's fatherhood just kind of jumps off the page. And Jesus frequently calls his God Father, both in his preaching and in his prayers. In the Gospel of John, this is true too. In John 8:38, Jesus tells his disciples that he has come from heaven not to do his will, but the will of his Father in heaven. His work on earth is to bring others to the Father. In John 14:31 that we read, Jesus tells his disciples, I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love him, that I love the Father. Christ was perfectly obedient to his Father's authority because that showed how much he loved him. His actions testified to his heart. A family unit here on earth is called to operate the way it does, to bear witness to this relationship that God has with his Son. Have you ever considered that? That God came first, not man. He created man in his image. And the entire purpose of creating men and women was for his glory, to prove how honorable and majestic he is. And we'll talk about the relationships we have with one another more later on, but I want to point out here that every time you see the love parents have for their children, and vice versa, you should be ultimately reminded of the heavenly relationship between Christ and his Son. You see, that relationship is so important for us. Imagine if it wasn't true, if God didn't actually love his Son, apart from the fact that the unity of the Trinity just completely shatters. If he didn't love a Son who is honorable, it means that he himself, God the Father in heaven, is not worthy of honor. It means that God becomes untrustworthy and fickle. And if Jesus didn't love his Father, he wouldn't have obeyed him. He frequently links the keeping of commandments to love in the Gospels. And if he hadn't obeyed him, then he wouldn't have come to the earth to save sinners such as ourselves. We wouldn't be heirs of righteousness, but we'd be children of the devil left to our own devices. See, it's crucially important that God and his Son are the perfect model of keeping the fifth commandment. But this means something else for us too. Come to the second point, God and you. One of the most glorious truths of the gospel is that we're washed clean of our sin. That God will not hold any of our sins against us. But we must never forget as Christians that God's blessings don't actually stop there. That's not the extent of them. Not only have our sins been paid for by the death of Christ on the cross, but Hebrews 2 verse 11 says that the Son of God himself is not ashamed to call us brothers. And our Father in heaven later in the book is not ashamed to call us his sons and daughters. In the blood of Christ, we're adopted into God's very family as his sons and daughters. Now what a privilege. What a blessing. Now, when I look at my son or daughter and realize the love that God has placed in my heart for them, I'm driven to acknowledge that me having children here on this earth is not the highest happiness that I can actually attain. We're told by Christ we're no longer spiritual orphans. You've been adopted into Christ's family. You have a Father in heaven who loves you, and he loves you despite your waywardness, despite you wanting to run from him and do your own thing, despite you always making a mess and him having to chase you up afterwards. The love that God has for Christ, his Son, is now yours to share. God loves you like that. God's a parent who is worthy of so much honor and glory and power, and he adopted you out of that love. And so you're called to honor him. And how do you do that? See, you're right, honey? Okay, he's okay. It's just a piece of the dinosaur got stuck, I think. Okay, where was I up to? Okay. So we're called to honor him. This God who is so worthy of honor and glory and power. And how do we do that? Well, as sons and daughters, we show the world what it means to love him by how we obey his will. In verse 23, Jesus says this, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." And in this way, the fifth commandment underscores all the other commandments in terms of obedience. When you honor your Father in heaven by keeping the fifth commandment, you're actually keeping all of them. You're honoring God. Our brothers and sisters' relationships here on this earth, though, don't always work out the way that they're supposed to. Everything these days seems to be attacking the family unit in one way or another. More children are growing up in broken homes these days than at any other time recorded in history. Even in this very building, I'm sure that there are those who have suffered or are still suffering in households that aren't perfect. And perhaps you've experienced the loss of trust in your own parents. Perhaps it was their infidelity, or maybe bad money management, or maybe neglect of some other sort. I said that you become an adult the day that you realize your parents aren't perfect. Well, sadly, some of us have to grow up faster than others. But congregation, this is why the heart of this commandment is such a comfort for us. Your parents aren't perfect. Their sin has corrupted this beautiful painting which God created. And even so, they still point you towards your Father in heaven. whether it's by their failures in which they point towards the need for a greater Father, or whether it was even their love, which reveals to us a greater love which God has for us. You may have cause to doubt the love of your earthly parents in one way or another, but never doubt that your Father in heaven loves you. When you're in Christ Jesus, when you repent and believe and he is your Savior, and you have a heavenly Father who loves you perfectly, and he loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to this earth so that you may be adopted as his heir, and your inheritance will never be taken away. Or perhaps in your marriages you've struggled with infertility. Or perhaps the loss of a child. Maybe you don't currently have a good relationship with one of your children anymore, or maybe they've left the faith. Now, these are incredibly painful consequences of the fall, the way sin affects us. Now, just like abusive parents corrupt the image that God has given, so too do a lack of godly children. If you're in this position at all, it's likely that other people's happiness, when God blesses them, simply serves as a reminder of what you don't have, or what you had once and you lost. And yet, even in your pain, remember that this earthly life only serves to point us upwards. Even though you may not be able to enjoy those perfect relationships with your family members here on earth, you have a perfect Father in heaven. You have a perfect brother in Jesus Christ. The pain around you should remind you of the hope before you. It doesn't often do this. Instead, our pain often drives a wedge between us and God. But it should drive us to God. Your earthly parents weren't perfect, but your heavenly Father loves you. He is honorable. He is faithful. Don't be discouraged, but trust in him. The blessing he promises you isn't the land of Canaan, but it's a family reunion in a new heavens and a new earth. There will be no imperfection, no drunken rages, no broken families, and no unfaithfulness. But all of us, as children looking to God our Father, will be without sin. And this brings me to the third point. You and your family here on earth. There are two ways that I want to attack this point. The first is to speak to children. But the fact of the matter is that every single one of us here is a child to someone else, or we wouldn't be here. And having considered the relationship with parents and children, and what the relationship reflects of God and a son, the love that God has for his sons and daughters, and the love that we should have for him, how then do we honor our earthly parents? As children, if you model Christ's attitude to God, then what does that look like? You see, this is especially difficult if your parents aren't perfect, as none of our parents are. It's also particularly difficult if they aren't Christians. It adds a whole extra dimension to this. But the truth is that whatever their wishes don't cause you to break God's law, you should endeavor to obey them and to honor them as you can. But you see, it doesn't stop there, because honor is not simply to obey, but to show love to. And this means that you need to find ways to show love to them. You see, that'll look different for each one of you. For some, that might mean offering help before they ask. It might mean caring for them when they struggle with different health concerns. But you see, honoring your parents also means not complaining about them all the time. See, God knew full well when he gave this commandment to the Israelite people that their earthly parents weren't perfect. But he commanded them to honor their parents anyway. And you see, no matter what age you are or what difficulties you have or had with your parents, the fifth commandment identifies that your responsibility as children is to, as far as you're able, speak respectfully of and act respectfully to your parents, to give them honor, to pour out love for them where you can. Let me ask you, what's your relationship with your parents like? Do you tend to fight with them constantly? Do you respect their wishes as much as you can? Do you seek their good and strive to be a blessing to them? Are you patient with their failings, as the Heidelberg Catechism tells us? Even as children, in your dealings with your parents, strive to reflect the love that Christ has with his Father in heaven. The second way I want to consider this point is to speak to parents. When we hear this command preached on, the temptation is to slip into that dangerous habit of thinking that it's most relevant to someone else. We hope they're here today, and we hope they're listening. Perhaps in this case, you tell your kids to sit up straighter and to pay closer attention. Boy, oh boy, do they need to hear this teaching on honoring their parents. But you see, the only problem with this is that when you think about why God wrote this commandment, the parents are actually in just as difficult a position as the children are. They're the ones who are called to represent God's authority. While a child looks to their parents and thinks, I must honor them as I honor God, a parent looks at a child and thinks, how on earth am I supposed to reflect God's fatherly love in the parenting of my children? How is that even possible? Our parenting isn't easy. Not only does your own sin get in the way, but your child doesn't make things any easier. We're called to be honorable in this commandment as parents, and when we aren't, we disrupt what God intends. Success as a parent isn't measured by being financially stable or marrying your kids off eventually. It's not the amount of grandchildren you have, and it's not even about avoiding as many mistakes as possible. It isn't the amount of fun you have together. Success as a parent is how effectively you point your children towards their Father in heaven. Sometimes this most effectively happens when you fail and make mistakes. You need to ask for forgiveness. You repent to your children. But you see, asking forgiveness from your children when you fail is not the final step in the process. The final step is highlighting how much God loves them, that he is a perfect father and mother where you fail to be a perfect father and mother. One of the conversations I'm most looking forward to having with my children is being able to say, well, you know how much I love you. Well, God loves you more. He loves you so much more. You see, even when I do things well as a parent in God's grace, they're only a feeble picture of how much God loves my children. Brothers and sisters, if you have children who aren't following this commandment faithfully, remember that God is still in control of them and their future. Don't compromise his standards simply to make peace. It's not the way this works. You're called to reflect the love that God has for his children. Sometimes that means making the hard calls in terms of discipline and standing by them. But it also means reflecting his grace and his mercy and his love. Your children are better in God's hands than they are in yours. Trust him. Congregation, the fifth commandment is a wonderful reminder of how much our Father in heaven loves his children. He is worthy of all our honor and love. He will never fail like we do. His Son, our elder brother, Jesus Christ, has gone before us, showing what it means to obey him, even to death. In his obedience, we are saved from our disobedience. And this created order should serve to remind us constantly of the faithfulness of our God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And no matter where we're lacking in our relationships here on earth, don't forget what they point towards. Your Father loves you. Honor him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to come before you as your sons and daughters. That you have promised us an inheritance which we do not deserve. And yet you sent your Son that we might be adopted into your family. Lord, we are so weak and we fail, and we fall, and we don't present true love to our children or to our parents the way we should. And yet we ask that you will continue to work in us and perfect us for the day of Christ's return. And Lord, may we, with each day, strive to point our children and to remind our parents of the love that you have for them and for us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.